Come gather, good people, and hear this strange tale of a man who was known in each county and vale. In a pub down in London called the White Horse's Tail, sat the one man in England who didn't drink ale.
He's known in each tavern. Look,
welcome to episode 111 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. We also have special guest Carrie with us. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
And tonight we're going to drink some Belgian beers, and I don't know what Carrie's going to drink, but we're going to find out.
This is part of our new post-COVID try to bring people in from geographically disparate locations, see if we can still maintain a similar beer vibe. With our last time an attempt at this, we tried to work with our friend in Brooklyn, and it turns out, had we planned better, like our 6 minutes of prep, apparently Brooklyn Brewery had a ton of beers here, and we could have totally done that. But in this one, we aren't matching, but because Carrie is a self-professed non-beer lover, but there are a few beers she likes, and we'll talk through that. And then in parallel, we'll describe a series of beers that we think Carrie might like, which come from a Belgian style and background.
Let's see. Now, am I allowed to open my beer?
You can. We can do whatever you want. You are the guest. Do you want to start with your beer first?
I mean, you know, I think, first of all, I want to say that looking at a light while talking to you boys is really exciting. oh, hi, I see a hand.
Okay. Wait, I know what we can do.
We have so much advanced technology, and yet I'm looking up nostrils.
Oh, I know. I can do it.
We're just trying to optimize the microphone for this.
I get it. I'm just giving you a hard time. It's fine.
It's not my best angle. So go ahead, ask your question.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, I come from a very interesting perspective because you guys are sort of what I would call a beer snobza, and I am not a beer snob, but I'm almost the worst because I don't really care that much about beer, so why not do a beer podcast?
There you go. And we're far from beer snobs, as we like every kind of beer in the world. There aren't very many beers we don't like.
That's not helping.
Why are we trying to fix video on an audio podcast?
I don't know.
It's fine. I'm fine, really.
Okay. There's one light.
So for you, Carrie, one of the things we check out is color and the head of the beer. So do you have yourself a glass that you could pour this Modelo into?
I do. And so for those of you who are listening, we'll talk about my beer, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pour it into a glass. So I am actually, like, I love Bloody Marys, but I hate vodka. I cannot drink vodka at all. And so a few years ago, I don't know, it's probably been 7-8 years ago now, one of my girlfriends introduced me to these things called micheladas, which, if you don't know what that is, most of you who listen to this probably do, but it's a red beer. It's a very Mexican inspired drink that is usually a light beer. Sometimes it's Tecate, sometimes it's Pacifico or Sol or Corona, and it's generally mixed with clamato juice, soy sauce, Worcestershire, and then kind of decorated with jicama or shrimp or Japanese peanuts or something to that nature, and has a tahine rim. Now, what I'm drinking is sort of like the girl on the go version, because first of all, I'm obsessed with tall boys. They come in tall boys.
Wait. Let's take a step back before we go into the beer. Why are you
said a lot of fancy things.
Yeah, there. Yeah. There's a lot of questions to ask there. But the first most important one, why do you have a mini obsession with tall boys?
Tall girl myself, so maybe that's why. I don't know what it is. There's just something very I don't know, gangster about a tall boy, I find.
Versus a 40?
This is a 24.
Right, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double beer, so.
Okay.
Well, that's bigger than these 16 ounces.
Yeah, so there's enough for all three of us to share.
24, except that's very good math, Chris. 24 is bigger than 12. Yeah, or 16.
So, and back to all the, when you said the glass is lined, I missed that. What is the glass lined with these beer?
Tahine, usually, yeah. Or salt, but usually a tahine rim, depending on where you are.
Is that like tahini?
No, tahine is a spice, a Mexican spice. It's like kind of like salt, paprika. It's got a lot of layers in it, so it's a little bit limey. It's a little tangy. It's a little
Oh, I think I've got a jar of that stuff.
Yeah, it's sort of like Mexican Old Bay.
Got it. So this sounds like a beer Bloody Mary, basically, what you described.
Exactly. And everyone has a different, there's lots of different variations. Just like any mixed drink, there's tons of variations. So you could just have lime and salt. Sometimes people make them with margarita mix, which is kind of a weird concept to me, but that is available. There's mango flavor.
Wait. It's weird to mix beer with margarita mix, but not weird to mix beer with Clamato.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, you have to sort of choose your own battle here.
All right. Well, let's, as she poured out, I heard look at that. That looks amber in color. Oh, that's a nice head. Is that cloudy? Yeah. Is that red?
It's red. Yeah, it's a red beer.
Isn't that one of your nicknames?
Reds?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Is there any reason why you like these beers? Is it because they're red? Or is that just an added bonus?
This is an added bonus. I mean, they are very easy to drink.
Okay.
You like the taste.
How would you describe the color on that?
So I would say it's very yellow. My lighting is very yellow in here. But I would say, in my opinion, the beer is sort of a reddish color. It's a warm tone.
And it had a bit of a creamy head when you initially poured it, but it looks like the head's quickly gone away.
Yeah, well, I would say a Modelo beer in the whole scheme of things is a pretty light beer.
Okay.
So it's not a heady beer by any means.
It looks pretty thick in there. It's opaque. Is that the Clamato? Oh, it has a flavor.
Yes. So the flavor is tangy. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you all. I had to research because this beer has been in my parents' refrigerator for a long time because I don't really drink very often. I'm way more of a stoner. So I was like, I had to look up if beer went bad, if beer expires. I don't know if you guys know the info on that.
It depends on what kind of beer it is and what it's packaged in. Typically, IPAs you want to drink. I'm thinking a lager that's kept cold mixed with Clamato probably has no expiration date.
What I learned is that beer does not go bad. However, what happens is that there's always a little bit of air inside the packaging. There's no way there couldn't be. So over time, obviously, oxidation happens, and that can affect the taste of your beer. It doesn't mean that the beer is bad, but the beer may not be the right, exactly the same taste as it would have had if you drank it, you know,
from the keg. We were just talking about that ourselves, that there's nothing better than beer straight from a tap. but with that, just one last, you know, give us what was the flavor profile on that? What did you smell when you first poured it?
So it's got a tangy sort of tomato-y sort of smell, a little bit vinegary.
Does a tomato go over the clam part?
So this is the thing. This one does not have Clamato in it. This one just has tomato.
Ah.
So that's the version. So, for example, Bud Light makes a version, or Budweiser or whatever, makes a version with Clamato juice. This one specifically from the Modelo is tomato. It's not Clamato.
Got it. And do you have a preference between the two?
So I don't like Bud Light. So although I like Clamato, I'd have to make it myself.
Got it.
So normally, to be really honest, if I'm being down and dirty, I'll just buy Zing Zangs, which is a really excellent Bloody Mary mix, or Mrs. T's, but Zing Zang's is better, and Corona and lime, and I'm pretty much golden.
That's it. Right on. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, again, when you don't feel like buying a bunch of ingredients, see, I'll just tell you, I have had a love affair with this for a very long time. But the thing about this tall boy specifically is that, unlike seltzer, which is normally what I drink, which is beer-like in some ways, I have to say, This beer has about 1,000 calories and about 900 grams of salt in it.
Oh, that does not seem very healthy at all. Oh.
Yeah, so whenever I was drinking them intensely, you know, I could drink three of them in a night. That's like a six-pack, essentially. And also 3,000 calories, which is your daily intake of, I mean, that's over most people's daily caloric intake. So, you know, they're a special occasion kind of thing. So I'm going to drink some of this beer, you know, but I'm going to try to be careful because, man, I'm going to not be able to bend my fingers tomorrow.
So do you have any kind of habit with you, like you hydrate like sip for sip? I see you're going to town on that. That's an excellent beer mug, by the way.
Thank you. You know what it says on it? Hyattstown Volunteer Fire Department.
Nice. Just right up the street.
That's right. Anyone's familiar with Maryland, you'll know about. Not Hyattsville, Hyattstown.
Hyattstown. Much different.
All right, Mike, you want to talk about the beer that we're drinking here?
So, complimentary, we're going to go in parallel, and we are drinking a beer with an amazingly rocky head. I mean, look at this, if you can still see in here. Hold on, Carrie.
I dropped you again. But I want to talk about what a rocky... First of all, I do know that, similar to wines, beer should be all in specific glasses.
Right, do you see the...
that head is intense.
Right, look at that.
It's like a little toque.
Right, you see the shape on it. Excellent.
Now, why does it do that?
Because it's got good body. It maintains it. It's not soapy.
So this is a Belgian beer. This is Duvel, a Belgian strong blonde beer.
Ooh, I like strong blondes.
From Belgium.
And I've heard of that beer actually.
Yeah. Very widely available. Widely known. I don't think we've ever actually had it on the podcast, though.
I think we did, maybe.
Maybe.
We'll have to go back the records. I don't know. What we really need is an archivist to help us on these things. But
yeah, but Mike was talking about the head. It's forming like strata.
I almost had like a little iceberg going there. It's very creamy.
Okay. So here's my question again. Another question. So what is the temperature of your beer? Is it like really cold? Is it icy cold? Are you drinking it in a cold glass? Like, what's the status there?
Not a cold glass, no, but it was in the fridge. So like not quite cellar temperature, but fridge temperature.
And it's been sitting out for about the length of time you described opening your beer. So maybe about 2-4 minutes.
Okay.
So it's warmed up a little bit.
So is that the way you should drink it?
So some beers, like lagers, pilsners, need to be served cold and consumed cold. Other beers like Belgians, Saisons, IPAs, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, English-style ales will do the cellar temperature thing where it's like the, whatever the temperature is in the basement, the underground basement, is good enough. Right. But
Like a Guinness, right?
Yeah, I mean, most... but. Like most beers you're going to get, even like from a well-conditioned bar or brewery, are going to be like kind of 40, refrigerator temperature.
45. Yeah. But so, the profile of the beer does change as it warms up sometimes.
Interesting. Because for me, because I drink beers like when and if I drink beer, like when I eat sushi, I love to have a Sapporo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of my things I love about drinking beer in a Japanese restaurant is that they bring you a cold beer in a glass, and then they bring a cold glass.
Right.
So I hate it. I detest when people bring me a cold beer and they put it in a warm glass. I don't understand that.
See, a beer snob would tell you by putting it in the cold glass, you're deadening any flavor from that beer. Now, if you're drinking like a... you know, a Japanese light lager, like a Kirin or a Sapporo or any of those beers, there's not tons of flavor in them anyway. They're like light lager flavors, so you're not going to really kill it. But if you're drinking like, you know, like a very flavorful IPA or pale ale or something like that, and you pour it into a cold glass, you're going to kind of like deaden some of the flavors out of it. And that's why actually warming up a beer can give you even more flavor.
Interesting. Okay, that makes sense. That's fair.
So anything, Mike, from you on the nose of this one?
No, I'm not getting like a little pepper.
I think when I first poured it, I smelled a little bit of that like rock candy sugar.
I was expecting that. I didn't get any of that.
Why would there be rock candy sugar? Is that how they brew it?
Some Belgian beers will be like they'll raise up the amount of alcohol with some basically adding sugar. So the yeast eat more sugar and like produce more alcohol.
Yeah, it gets.
I don't know if that's
boozier.
The case in this case for this style.
This is like a clean. It's like a mildly bitter beer. This tastes like a pure, like the straight up like a pilsner or a lager. It's not too sweet. It's not too weedy. It's very clean, effervescent, amazing head on it.
So. Again, I'm not as a beer aficionado like you two. So if a beer is like hoppy, what does that mean?
So hops are, they are a cousin of the cannabinoids you like to, you favor, like the flower.
Right.
It, they have buds like that. So the
hop cones.
The hop cones, the hops produce like, you know, oils and flavors. They're very pungent. And they're used to bitter because when you alcohol and yeast make what is it? They eat sugar, right? So the wort is sweet. It's almost like a oatmeal or a what is that called? Farina or whatever that stuff called.
Yeah, like in any kind of grain soaked in water and add a little yeast, it'll produce some alcohol and leave some sweetness behind. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's called fermentation.
That's
right. And it leaches out the sweetness of whatever those grains are. So to counterbalance it, you boil it off and you add in hops and malt to balance out the flavor profile. So more malt gives it a little bit more of the caramel colors and that bready taste, and then more hops you can play around with, and that's what people are doing with IPAs now and different hopping styles like dry hopping, adding hop oil, that gives the flavor profile.
Like, so an IPA is generally more of a hop heavy
yes,
beer.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the whole reason they. India Pale Ales came about was because beers would go off. So in the journey from England to India, they would try to cover it up by extra hopping on the beers so it would make the voyage. And then that became known as India Pale Ale versus just a regular pale ale because of all the extra hopping in it.
Interesting. Okay.
And
it serves as a preservative to the hops for the beer.
Okay.
And
go
ahead.
Well, my BFF is super into IPAs, but I can't stand them.
So on our on this one, it's a really well balanced beer between the. It's a little bit bitter on this one.
I get like I get some sweet notes too.
I'm missing that.
It's a very yellow, pale color. A little bit, tiny bit hazy. A little straw.
Yeah.
I think there's probably some reserved yeast in the bottom of the bottle here.
So now is it the Duval like a beer you would share? Okay, so it's a single beer.
Yeah,
it is. But when we do the podcast, we tend to share beers.
Got it.
Because we're drinking a lot of them.
And is the head still happening there?
Yeah,
it's still
actually,
alive in yours. It's still going. Yeah.
Can you see that? I mean, it's still holding.
Yeah.
It's still holding up over time.
Wow.
Which you know, the sign of, in, like, it's got good effervescence. It's a well balanced beer. Usually, when that happens.
Interesting.
I don't know the same correlation like legs on wine to quality,
right.
But I know it's always cooler when there's legs on beer.
Interesting. I don't think I've had any beers that actually have legs. I did try a beer from a microbrew in Tybee, and I was wondering how you got the taste out of your mouth after you drank it.
Do you remember?
It tasted like dirt.
Dirt. That could have been a bitter IPA. They sometimes have flavor profiles referred to as dank or earthy, and sometimes even straight up dirt.
Or like basement, or even
right basement.
I mean, that sounds like a a smelly sticker gone wrong. I don't know about you guys.
Right. But if you appreciate that astringency, you know, like you look for that, like that's, you know, some of the first love of IPAs was that. Then it was like, how do you balance that? And then, you know, then the New England styles came out, which make them really fruity. They almost taste like a citrus, like orange juice or something.
Right. Well, there's some beers you put, like a Hefeweizen or whatever, you put orange in, right?
Right. And what's cool with what some of the brewers are doing with hops is they can mimic that citrus flavor just by a balance of these hops flowers, which have no citrus
floral,
at all.
They must have floral notes.
Yes.
Do they have floral notes?
Exactly. and
see, I'm not that dense.
You're not dense at all, right? You got what's going on with this. How do I get this thing? I'm dense. I can't even load this damn thing back up.
What are you trying to do here?
So real quick, because, you know, as Carrie self-describes, she is not necessarily a fan of beer. And her beer choice was a beer that was mixed with another substance, because beer.
You know, I think beer has a time. In, like, I used to only drink beer, but I would always drink shitty beer. And it's not that. And I say shitty beer by whose standards? I don't know. Not everyone's, because there's plenty of Coronas sold in the world, and Pacificos, and Kirin's, and Sapporos, and Zing Zang, or whatever it's called from the Thai beer. So I do drink those things.
Right.
I like a Kingfisher every now and again.
Well, you'll be happy about some of the beers on this list, Carrie, because they align with your flavor profile there.
And I would drink all those beers in like a time. I mean, definitely, like if you're going to a Japanese restaurant and having sushi or whatever,
right.
I would definitely drink a Sapporo. That would be my beer of choice at a Japanese restaurant.
Nice
versus
Kolsch
any
work
like
for
hoppy,
me too.
Anything else.
A Pilsner Kolsch could work. Yeah. But the premise on this article, 10 beers to try if you hate the taste of beer. And to your point there, Carrie, number one on... Oh, I'm going to go backwards like David Letterman.
Corona's one, though.
Oh, it's no spoilers.
Sorry, but okay, well, one spoiler.
I'm going to scroll all the way down to number 10, which kind of shocked me a little bit. Because A, it's a Sam Adams, and B, it's their attempt at an IPA. But their Samuel Adams Whitewater IPA, it's a combination of wheat beer and the hoppy kick of an IPA and the sweetness of apricots. It's a perfect summer beer. Mm. It's super refreshing and delicious. See, as we were talking, subtle hints of citrusy fruit, mild spiciness. So this made the top 10 list of beers to try if you really aren't into beer, like Natural Light, Pabst Blue Ribbon are the examples they give. This is shown being consumed on a boat. So maybe it's right. Only good if you're on a boat.
Yeah, I don't like Samuel Adams anything.
So
sorry, Sam.
Number nine is a beer that I have been known to drink on occasion. But this beer, you asked about temperature. If this beer is consumed above 37 degrees, you'll die. This is called Miller High Life, made famous by the lyrics of They Might Be Giants, with the six of Miller High Life, just drinking. Anyway, considered the champagne of beers, Miller High Life has been a favorite for over 113 years. And brewed with the yeast Miller's founder brought over from Germany, this highly carbonated, consistently Christmas smooth take will encourage all drinkers to take back the high life. Now, Miller High Life is good, but seriously, man, if you do not drink that before it goes above 37 degrees, it's unpalatable. All right, I'm going to do... two more real quick on this. This actually surprised me. This might be sponsored by Abita because they have a couple of beers, and Abita is a more of a craft brewer beer. But this seasonal lager, this is Abita's strawberry lager. It's a seasonal lager which uses real Louisiana strawberry juice added after filtration, which gives it a wonderful sweet strawberry flavor and smell. This does sound like a beer you might like, Carrie. It's not tomato. I don't know if you don't like, maybe you won't like the sweet. But it says, this perfect beer for those who hate the taste. You might just start pairing this with summer strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, see, I don't think I'd like that at all. That doesn't sound good to me. Strawberry beer, that sounds disgusting.
You like the more savory flavors, it sounds like.
But see, I'm a sweet tooth kind of person, but not when it comes. Beer is a savory. It's savory.
Okay.
Maybe you would like this one. It's similar to what we just drank.
I don't like Blue Moon either.
Well, why are you spoiling things?
Sorry.
Oh, you tell me. Tell us what number seven is. No. You go with it. Go. What's number seven?
Okay. So number seven is another one of my unfavorites, which is Blue Moon Belgian Whites. It's brewed with Valencia orange peels. Like, why? Again, do we need citrus in our beer? It's too floral. It tastes floral to me. It's the signature subtle sweetness, crisp, tangy, and slightly spicy. This 170-calorie beer will pair perfectly with some light fish tacos this summer. Okay, I don't know. I mean, I believe in beer pairings for sure, but you got to have oranges. It's a thing. Ooh, but I'm getting excited about the next one.
Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
So the next one I actually really like, it's the Landshark IPA, which I don't usually like IPAs. Maybe I just like the name Landshark. and the fact that, because Mike and I are from Maryland, and Chris, I guess you're from Maryland, you don't live there anymore.
I wouldn't say I'm from there. I would say I've lived there.
Okay. Well, a past Marylander. They have it here served with crabs, which made me very exciting. Landshark Lager is so drinkable and refreshing that whenever you drink one, you'll feel like you're having the island lifestyle. That's slightly dramatic. Looking for the best summer dish to pair it with? Check out this article written by a self-proclaimed beer snob. So I would say Landshark is a really, I guess that would be kind of like my reach beer. You know, like if I was trying to sort of not roll up with some basic Corona, Landshark might be a good option.
Yeah, I think any lager, pilsner, whatever would go great with Old Bay and crabs that are beautiful looking crabs. And we'll cut the list there. We'll finish it up later on in the episode. We'll
all right, Mike,
at number one.
I think we need to get to our next beer, which is another Belgian. Whoa!
Whoa! Okay, we got a little bit of here. How do we get that on? Oh, that's my finger. Wait a minute.
We blew up a little bit. This is another Belgian blonde from Achel. It's a Trappist Belgian blonde again.
Oh, that's a Trappist beer?
Yes.
Oh, so that blew up because it was probably still fermenting in your fridge, right?
Yes. Whoa.
Oh, look at that. He's making another mess.
What are you doing?
So far, Chris has prematurely expanded outside of his vessel. With a creamy, frothy head. He's been known to be premature on these things in the past.
Old habits die hard.
Yes. Could you see the bottle exploding? Did I get the camera there in time?
Yeah, it's good. And now, a Trappist, you said it's a Trappist beer, right? Aren't they like made by monks or something?
Trappist. Yes. So, like only...
They're made at monkeries.
Monkeries. There's only, what, 12 monkeries?
Not that many.
11 monkeries?
Something like that.
10 monkeries?
Around
9?
I don't know the exact
8?
Number.
Something less than 12.
Maybe more than 12. Slightly.
But, yeah, in order to get... So on the label you see there, what that says... No, you disappeared. Do you see that?
Well, authentic... It says Trappist.
Authentic Trappist. So this was made by... This is made in a monkery by monks.
Okay.
And this is a blonde Belgian.
There are 13 Trappist monasteries.
So that is more than 12.
6 in Belgium, 2 in the Netherlands, 1 in Austria, Italy, England, and France.
Wait, is that the same one?
And there's actually one in the United States, or there was one in the United States, but they've closed.
Wasn't that the one by Omegang?
Spencer in Massachusetts. We had it on the podcast.
Why'd they close?
Because they ran out of monks.
Ah, not enough people giving up life to make beer. Maybe that's what I can do after I retire.
Here, pour yourself, because I don't want to take the blame.
So ask us some questions so we can seem like we know anything about beer.
I was just about to ask if we get to see cats or dogs on this podcast. that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. We can find. We will find both Loki and Luna.
So I'm curious how you all decide what beers you're going to talk about, because I know there's a gazillion out there. That's obvious. Go to any place that has beer, and there's like beautiful packaging, beautiful marketing. Unfortunately, I don't want to drink any of it. But how do you all decide what you want to try? Or
It is part of that, what you just mentioned. Like, we'll go into a beer store and look at different beers. Sometimes we'll look for a certain theme, like all Belgian beers or all beers from one brewery or all of a certain style, like all stouts or all porters. So it generally starts with, like, looking at beers, looking for a theme, looking for beers we haven't had or something that'll be unique or interesting on the show. That's kind of how we decide.
Yeah, and I'll. Another thing is, sometimes we travel, right? So, if we can find some good beer experience, find it in a can that'll survive the pressure change, whatever, and you can get it back home. That was another thing that used to drive us when we were co-located.
Or a rare something rare and hard to get. So, like
a Trappist, for instance,
beer. A Trappist beer or. Heady Topper, which is a famous beer made in Vermont, in New England, but it was very difficult to get outside of like the few cities that they distributed to in Vermont. So like getting something like that for the show would be like a win, you know, something to talk about that beer nerds would be interested in.
Yeah, there's certain beers called Grail beers, so we would definitely love to go after those. And then, you know. I also will pick beers because not so much the label, but like the flavor profile it may profess to have.
I mean, I've bought beers because of the labels before, I'll be honest. Like, yeah. Marketing works.
Of course it does. I'm wondering if I should go get a different beer.
Do you have some?
I do. I don't really know what they are, but I have some.
Well, go get one.
Grab another beer and we'll go
grab a beer
there
while we talk about this.
Yeah, we'll talk about this one.
Okay.
So on the nose, so this one in color is a straw, like a little bit darker, a little almost to amber, but not quite.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear.
More orange than the previous one.
Even less hazy than the previous one.
Super,
like almost,
effervescent.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of the rockiness still. I've got a little different shape on there.
I can smell sugar.
This one is 8%. The last one was 8.5%. These are all strong blonde beers. They're like.
But they don't taste.
This will
strong.
Sneak up on you, right? Like, this does not look like a 8% beer.
No, it went down like an easy drinking pill. So, I'm also.
That's way too easy to drink.
That's delicious.
8% beer drinking this. Oh, you would be wrecked.
So I smelled a little pepper on the nose.
Oh,
did
I got
you
a little
pepper on the nose.
Yeah, I got pepper on the nose, but like
did
drinking
you get banana?
It, I get banana at
it
the
is
end.
Banana
at
like
the
a
end.
Yeah. That is really tasty.
That's good. I believe we've had this on the podcast before, but I could be wrong.
Okay, that was fascinating to listen to, I have to say.
Did you actually hear us while you went off on your quest?
I did. I heard peppers and noses and...
Bananas.
That shit's bananas. All right, so I found two beers, which we can talk about in a second, whenever you all are ready.
What did you get? What are you popping first?
You pick one at a time.
So the first one is Appalachian Brewing Company.
Oh, they're up in Harrisburg, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. They're on Cameron Street in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And this is an Appalachian ginger beer.
Okay.
So I guess my theme will be beers with additives.
Well, and the ginger beer actually is different because they're fermenting the ginger. It's the ginger root. So it's more like a alcohol-infused ginger ale.
Like a kombucha, almost.
I don't think I've had a ginger in a beer.
Ginger beer?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like ginger in a beer, alcoholic beer.
You never had ginger beer?
Really?
Like in an alcoholic beer?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And you ever had hard root beer?
No.
Like sarsaparilla with booze?
No.
What do you think? Does it taste more like a ginger ale, or what does it taste like there, Carrie?
So I'm just checking to make sure that this is actually alcoholic also. I don't know if it is. Let's see. It has filtered and carbonated water, pure cane sugar, honey, natural, artificial.
All right, you're drinking a soda.
Am I drinking a soda? I might be. It's kind of weird. It barely even fuzzed when I... All right. Okay, I might have to go get something else. But I have another beer, so we'll put a... I feel like that was...
I've had alcoholic ginger beer.
No, they have those. I just haven't had
they
one.
They do. Yeah. I just don't know if this has alcohol in it. It doesn't say anywhere. Wouldn't it say?
Yeah, it would say. It would have the alcohol by volume on there.
And there should be some Surgeon General's warning or what have you.
And it would say women can't drink this after having babies. Or no, when having babies.
Yeah, it doesn't say any of such things. This says... Okay, so this next one, yes. This is Magic Hat.
Oh, yeah. Magic Hat. That's a good beer.
A winter mingle stout with vanilla.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
But it's been cold, so I don't know if I'm supposed to drink a stout cold. But
you can drink it cold. Did you say it was a winter lager?
No, it's a stout, she said.
Winter mingle. So it says it's 3/4 pint stout with natural flavors and a 5.8 alcohol by volume.
But what you can do is drink a little bit cold and then let it warm up a little bit.
Yeah, that's when you want to keep
some different flavors.
You want to keep tasting that over the next 10 minutes.
Okay, so this beer looks like a Coke.
Yeah, it does.
It has a very, very creamy head there.
But yeah, I see the Coke bubbles on the side.
Yeah. It's Coke with the good head. What do you smell?
Vanilla, maybe? Vanilla and oil?
Like motor oil?
Wow. That tastes like licorice with no sweetener.
Or like baker's chocolate?
Yes. Bitter, bitter, bitter. With the slightest hint of vanilla on the end.
That sounds
just
good.
To make it so... Your skin doesn't, your tongue doesn't totally shrivel in your mouth.
I think I would like to save some of that. I'm flying back into Maryland tomorrow. I'll grab the rest of it. Just stick in the fridge.
Now that I've had a sip for a second and talked a little bit, now there's like a coffiness to it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You'll get coffee from stouts. Right? Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes coffee, sometimes you get chocolate.
Yeah. Vanilla, often even.
Well, this supposedly has vanilla in it. Wow.
Now, do you like coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee. Okay. It's not that I mind coffee flavor so much. You know, I don't mind. But I think if I was going to say I like coffee flavor, it's probably coffee with like some sort of sugar or sweetener in it. I don't know if I just like coffee by itself.
Like a Turkish coffee?
I don't drink coffee. So it's not that I don't like it. I just don't drink it.
Well, that stouts share a similar profile to coffee, and sometimes stouts get super sweet, like some people will over sugar coffee. Sometimes the best coffee is, you know, by itself and you just get the notes of the coffee.
Right.
They work for that. But to Chris's point, like I'd let it warm up for a bit and then come check on it in like another 5-10 minutes from now. And while Chris is getting us a third beer, I'm going to go back to our list. We left off at the wonderful description of Landshark with those fantastic crabs.
Right.
And now number 5 is another one of those beers that says it's imported, but it's really made by commercial brewers. It's Shock Top. And it's called a spiced Belgian-style wheat beer brewed with real orange, lemon, and lime peels. And this one's the Lemon Shandy. So it's probably more of a wine cooler or less of a beer. But, you know, in the summer, there's nothing wrong with a good shandy. I'm okay with that. And number 4 is something similar to a shandy. It's the Bud Light Lime, which is their Bud Light flavored with lime, which, you know, again, in the summer, that's easy drinking, good go down. Whoa! Jesus. Apparently, we're drinking a beer that was closed with a cork.
Yes.
Took out my eye.
In honor of Carrie, look where this beer was made. It says down there.
Where was this beer?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
New New Jersey, where?
I can't. Where does it say? The print's way too small for
Pennington. Do you know where Pennington is? I don't know where that is.
No, I don't. I don't. I do want to just say, before you could talk about this awesome cork top beer, there are some shandies that I do like. Like, if you go to the Caribbean, a shandy is what you should drink.
Right, right. If it's hot and humid, a shandy is a perfect beer. Oh my God, the color on this. Look at this, Carrie. Hold on. Whoa. Oh God, are you okay? I dropped you again. Good Lord.
I'm all right. Guys, oh, she's pretty.
Right? Wow, kind of looks like your hair color.
Yeah, she's real. It does. Cranberry.
Even more, what do you call it?
Now, what kind of beer is that?
What is this, Chris?
This is a Berliner Mess.
Oh, if it's a Berliner, this is going to be sour, isn't it?
100% spontaneously fermented ale aged in oak barrels with grapes, grape pomace, and honey added. It's only 6%.
So is this like a beer wine?
We didn't even say what the beer is. The beer is called the Reverend, the Referend Sanctus. The Referend, what? Maybe, what's the brewery name? The Referend is the brewery. The Referend Beer Blendery in Pennington, New Jersey, and the beer is called Sanctus. Sanctus is our spontaneously fermented Berliner Mess, M-E-S-S-E, I've never heard of anything other than a Berliner Weiss. I haven't heard of a Berliner Mess. What does mess mean in German?
I'm looking it up. You are German. Come on, Steinig.
Maybe my daughter knows. Hannah, what does mess mean? That addresses the dark.
This
2019 Harvest Edition was re-fermented with New Jersey Chambord grape must and further conditioned on New Jersey Petite Syrah and Cabernet Franc grape pomace from Unionville Vineyards. After racking off of the fruit, the beer rested in Grenache puncheons and underwent a final re-fermentation in the bottle. Oh, there's a lot going on here, Mike.
Well, all I can say is when I'm looking up Berliner Mess, it's called a Berlin Mass, and it's about music, not about beer. So again, 6 minutes of prep, and we probably could have got an answer there. They're named after a full choral mass or messa, dummy. Messa.
Messa. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently this is on the website for the Referend, which is the beer that we're drinking. So there you go.
How would you pronounce that? The Referend?
The Referend.
Referendum? Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff I'm messing up here.
She paused us, man. Carrie's decided to get out of here.
I'm here. I just was checking something.
She's like, what else do I have going on tonight?
Right. No. I am trying to take other sips of this.
Oh, I see. Now. They're using the Berliner. They're building off of what the Weiss, and they're calling it a mass because it has all these different movements and tonal frameworks as I read the marketing material.
Holy moly.
This is a lot of words. What does it taste like?
Oh, all right. We gave the color.
So the color is like
it's an opaque cranberry.
Yeah.
Cranberry, yeah. It's pretty.
And like a nice white fluffy head with little hues of pink, but the head's quickly dissipating. Oh, it smells.
Not as sour as I thought.
Smells like a sour.
Not as sour tasting as I was expecting.
I'm getting that garbage juice smell.
Taste it.
Okay. I don't know. I'm a little scared now.
Woo! Oh, on the second drink, I get more of the sour.
That's ass.
What are you doing?
That is ass puckering. That would have been good if you had seen the video on us drinking this.
Is it like a sweet tart? Is it like a
warhead? Yeah, a little. It's the tart.
It's a tart. Tart.
Tart.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's, I might have to let that one warm up a little bit.
So this is, Carrie, is one of the reasons we drink like these kind of beers on the podcast. So we split them amongst like groups of people because, yeah, I wouldn't drink a bunch of these by myself.
Sure. No, I get it. I get it. I like the taste testing comparison aspect of this podcast.
This place looks cool, though. Wherever Pennington, New Jersey is, they have like a farm brewery out there with like, I don't know, all sorts of stuff going on. Looks pretty sweet.
That's cool. That's cool. Maybe we'll have to check it out. We'll have to do a live podcast from the Sour Patch.
Yeah, from the beer blendery.
Can you guys just take a look at this bottle opener right here?
That's old school.
This is from my parents' kitchen drawer.
That is awesome. You only need to use the back side, but the front side could be used to pop open an old can of condensed milk or evaporated milk juice. Or tomato juice.
If you were making clamatos.
Ah, that's way more on point.
Sorry, micheladas. Yeah, or pineapple juice if you wanted to make a shandy.
There you go. Look at you keeping it real, keeping it together.
Yes, well, I'm paying attention.
Well, good, because I lost the page that had that top 10 list, so you have to take us to the end of our top 10 list.
All right, tell me when.
Go ahead. We left off at, I believe we left off at the Shock Top.
Shock Top. Okay, so coming in at number 3, I don't know how to pronounce this, Leinenkugel?
Oh, Leinenkugel Summer Shandy.
Yes. Another shandy. Now, I'm reading this. This is not my personal favorite, just for clarity.
Okay.
It says here, a personal favorite. Leinenkugel Summer Shandy is a crisp, light beer with a natural lemonade flavor. The perfect beer for those looking to graduate from the super sugary Mike's Hard Lemonade, I guess. Make sure to get out there and stock up while this summer staple is still available.
Yeah, it is a less sweet, less artificial flavored lemony treat in the summer. I like Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy as well. I also like that Narragansett lemon.
Narragansett.
Yeah, that stuff was good. It's like that if you've had that, Carrie.
Because
you're hip and cool. I'm sure you would have had that.
I've had it. I don't like it. There were some in my refrigerator for a long time. Okay, so coming in at number 2 is the Abita Purple Haze.
Okay, another Abita.
Now, just by name, I should love this beer.
Right.
But I don't. Purple Haze is a lager brewed with real raspberries, which gives the beer its distinct fruity aroma and tartly sweet taste. Its fun purple color will not only be the enjoyment. Will not be the only enjoyment you get from drinking this beer, as many people swap out the dessert for this 128 calorie Abita favorite. I think there's a sponsorship. This seems fixed.
Yeah, it's a little bit too much Abita.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of purple and purple haze, the what are we drinking?
Sanctus.
The Sanctus is mellowing out quickly, and as it warms up, it becomes way more potable.
It's only 6%, too, so it's not like a... Some sours can be very high alcohol.
Yeah, now it's more like if you use natural cranberry juice with some club soda and put some vodka in it, because you get a little booze kick, just a little bit, but... It's not as simple as that, but it's got that tart to try to explain the tartness, like when you have real cranberry juice.
I get it.
Not cranberry cocktail.
Sure. So that's a bitter sour. That's not even.
Yeah, but this is good, especially
like it now?
I've been walking. We were walking outside earlier. It's very dry, up at 6,000 feet, whatever. We're in the high desert, so. But this does cut through, and it's like I feel as if you're riding on a dusty range. This would be the thing to bring back your palate.
Okay, that's fair, I guess. It's like almost like a hydrator. Is that
what you're saying?
Yes. Like a Gatorade of beers.
It is a little Gatorade-y. Yeah. Gatorade, now I'm getting some Gatorade.
Yeah.
Now that you
now
said
you're
that.
Getting electrolytes.
Yeah,
it's got electrolytes.
I'm gonna drink this when I'm like after exercising. Or
I believe this would be the recovery beverage of choice.
You should just put that. Yeah, you should put it in like a Camelback. That's yeah. Hiking.
Squeeze bottle and take this. Yeah, absolutely.
So. What was the number one beer on our list there for people who don't like beer?
So the number one and we did mention this at the beginning of the podcast, so sorry if you guys already heard it. But number one, drum roll please, is Corona with lime. And I'm going to say yes. Yes. Give Corona its lime and you will get a perfectly refreshing light beer. At only 100 calories and 5 carbs, Corona Light, I'd just rather have Corona. This beer is going to become your new favorite summer drink. And I just want to say it like this. Your new summer drink.
Drank.
Your new favorite summer drink. At only approximately $10 per six-pack, you won't bust the bank or your waistline at that upcoming summer barbecue either. Oh, thank God. So, yeah, I mean, I think Corona is a very, very versatile beer and one of those beers that's kind of benign in the sense that, you know, people will take a Corona. If that's the only beer you got, they'll be like, fine, I'll take the Corona. They're not like, I don't know. There's other beers that are far more polarizing, that are shitty.
Fair. But have you ever had a Corona without a lime? Because sometimes limes are hard to come by as they're not native to most of the United States.
I've had it without a lime. It's not quite as good.
I don't know, Chris. You?
I have had it without a lime, of course.
Yeah?
But I've had it with a lime and it's better.
Yeah.
Corona with a lime is better. Yeah, I mean, like... if I'm in the hot weather, hot sticky Caribbean or something like that, Corona with a lime, perfect. I'm down.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's like a good drink for the pool, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And the one thing I will say for like the Coronas and even the Leinenkugel Shandy, they don't feel as heavy as the sours and the beers we had.
All right.
I mean, you guys are drinking meals, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah, they're against the zero carb approach I've been trying to take recently.
That's for sure.
Right.
All right. Here's how we end the show. We generally pick which was our favorite of the beers we had tonight. So Mike and I had Duvel's Belgian Strong, Echelle's Trappist Blonde, and Sanctus from The Reference. So, Mike, which one of those was your favorite?
I like the Echelle. You know what? All of these beers were pretty darn good. This is tough. Since we're not quite in summer, the sun is set here. Oh, I don't know. Chris, I got to skip.
I'm going to go with the Echelle. You were kind of hinting at that maybe. I just thought it was easy going down. I could drink a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Somehow.
And just 8%. It was made by real monks and it was so smooth. You're right. I'll go with that. But the Sanctus was a really close second and the Duvel a close third.
All right, Carrie, go ahead.
Can I commentary on your decisions? Because I would have thought for sure the Duvel would have been your favorite.
From the way we were talking about it?
Yes, well, because the Sanctus was like so bitter and sour, and then within like 5 minutes you had like a completely different review.
Yes. Well, I'm present bias, and you know, I liked it better at the end than at the beginning.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah, I feel like we didn't talk as much about the Echelle as well. Kind of snuck it in the middle there. But it had that banana-y finish, which I liked.
Oh, nope. The banana one, right.
Yeah, we talked through the banana and the candy. So what about your selection of three, one of which may not have even had alcohol?
Maybe one was just a drink. I mean, I'm a purist. I'm gonna stay with my Modelo because that's like what I brought because I knew I could talk about it in a semi-educated from experience anyway. I can't say I'm educated about it, but I've drank enough of them to know how it tastes and how many calories are in it. Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to choke down sips of this winter mingle stout, and it just gets more chocolatey and coffee-y, thick tar-like as the night goes on.
So the warming of it right now, you just tried it again, didn't like it?
I mean, I didn't die.
Was it any better than the initial? Did it warm up and become more palatable for you, or just that flavor profile just sucks?
It's just not my thing.
Okay.
You would probably think it's really decent and like it. It tastes like I'm drinking.
I'm heading back to Maryland. Just stick it in the fridge, man. I'll come visit.
I feel like I feel like I could, if I waited, let some coffee grinds like hang out in the coffee maker wet overnight, and then the next morning I squeezed it out, and that juice, that's what I feel like I'm drinking.
Wow, that is a very, very vivid, graphic description. I like that.
Good. I'm glad you got it.
No, that was awesome. That was, even though you say that, I still think I want to try some of that beer. So what was the brand again?
It's a Magic Hat.
Magic Hat. Those good Vermonters. They do know how to make a beer.
Yeah, Vermont.
Their main beer was Magic Hat number 9.
The apricot beer or something like that.
Yeah, that was the first one. It crossed boundaries, came down south, helped make a name when the craft brew thing was emerging.
All right, Mike, let's do the outro for this episode. Any last words, Carrie, before we do our outro?
I just want to say thank you for letting me be on. This is a really super fun experience, and I would love to come back anytime and talk about how much I don't like beer on your beer podcast.
Absolutely. Well, you've already set us up. We're gonna have to do like a Jersey, Atlanta, Colorado.
Well, yeah, we'll have to do
Maryland
a live one
square
and make you drink all these beers.
Yes.
Yeah, I would love that. I would totally
love it. What? All right. So thanks for listening to CMBC episode 111. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cmbcpodcast.com.
You can email us at cmbcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/cmbcpodcast, with a bunch of pictures and stuff like that. You can also see our video episodes on youtube.com/cmbcpodcast. And finally, we're on Twitter, at CNBC Podcast. Anytime we have a new episode, we post there.
We need to get an Insta page. Now we got a famous Insta
person. I think we might need to change the Facebook to Instagram and to just cross post to Facebook.
Yeah.
Because like I like Instagram much more than Facebook at this point.
I don't know how to use Instagram. I get confused every time.
It's
like,
easy. And Carrie can help you.
I'll help you.
She's an expert. By the way, Carrie's a artist of the stars.
When we send out this thing, send a link to her Insta page so people
definitely
can discover.
Yeah.
She does really cool shit with makeup and stuff.
Yeah, cool. I'm sure all your fans can't wait to watch my makeup videos.
The crossover
You have no idea.
I mean, the crossover has endless bounds.
Look, our entire podcast network is a launching pad for cross-promotional brand building. We're eventually going to get Mark and his podcast under our network wing.
I think that Mark and I should come on, and we should do one on seltzers.
There you go. Except Mark doesn't drink anything anymore.
Yeah, he's not doing any alcohol, right?
I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm talking about
flavored seltzers.
He and I can go toe-to-toe on some seltzer.
That would be wonderful. And in the spirit of the topic tonight, let's close out with our beer quote. From Capital Brewery in Middletown, Wisconsin, people who drink light beer, and beers in quotes, don't like to taste of beer. They just like to pee a lot.
Cheers.
Cheers. Drink good beers.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us, Gary.
Peace out, you guys.
Peace out.
That sober ne'er-do-well who doesn't like beer.
One day we conspired to drive him quite mad, so I pissed.
Whatever, we're young at heart. Just jump in. It's not like anybody listens anyway.
My lad, he took a big sup and said, this one's not bad.
He's known in each tavern, both distant and near.
Let's cut that out. I don't want to be on record as a mouth breather.
Like beer.
Through song and through story, his prominence rose till the queen saw the portrait of him. Tried to impress her by wearing new clothes and a picture of drinking while haunting his dance.
He's known in each tavern, both distant and near. That strange motherfucker who doesn't like lambics or lagers or bitters or box or pilsners or porters or meat sweet and clear, where the stouts of all that strange motherfucker.